Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Sarabjeet Kaur, and today we will be discussing about launch of multiple connectivity development projects in West Bengal and Assam. India is witnessing a major push in connectivity and infrastructure with several key development projects recently launched in West Bengal and Assam. From new highways and rail upgrades to the flagging off of 5 Amrit Bharat Express trains, these initiatives aim to improve travel, boost regional economies, and strengthen links between the Northeast and the rest of the country. To understand this better, we are fortunate to have with us Dr. K.G. Suresh, political analyst. Dr. Suresh, welcome to the studios of Akashvani.
Thank you.
Dr. Suresh, before we go into the nitty-gritties of these infrastructure projects, I'll request you to apprise our listeners, what role do large-scale infrastructure investments play in improving last-mile connectivity for rural and border areas?
Absolutely. You see, in the last 11 years, the number of times the Honorable Prime Minister has visited the Northeast is unprecedented. And with each visit, he comes with a lot of developmental projects. And Northeast has been his focus area. In fact, the Look East policy of the government has now been converted into the Act East policy. And the government is very keen about developing the Northeast as the gateway to Southeast Asia. In fact, the Prime Minister has repeatedly expressed his concerns that the way western part of the country has developed, the eastern part has not developed. So he has been putting a lot of emphasis on road connectivity, rail connectivity, electricity, you know, and of course industrialization. And even his latest visits show how much concerned he is about connecting the very, very critical part of our, which has many international borders, you know, whether it is Assam or Bengal, very sensitive states, then to ensure that the development goes till the grassroots. But at the same time, his focus is also on what he calls it Vikas Bhi, Virasat Bhi. The heritage, the local traditions, they are also preserved even as we work on the developmental path. So, look at the case of the entire project, which is Kaziranga. The whole elevated road project is not only is going to connect Guwahati to places like Nagaon, Tinsukia, but at the same time with bypasses, elevated roads. But the main objective is that the man-animal conflict there is reduced. The animals have a safe passage, particularly during the floods, which is a bane of the Northeast, where floods often come and the animals, you find them stranded. And so that to enable them to move to safer zones, it is important to give them a corridor where they can move without the fear of being killed by vehicles. So I think that this is very important. So this elevated road. So on the one hand, today that is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So at the same time, you also see that development is taking place. We are not neglecting the development of that place in the name of preserving our natural heritage. But at the same time, we are also ensuring that the nature is preserved. So I think that this kind of a sensitivity, which is very much required in the development of our northeastern region and the eastern states, that is being specially taken care of.
Dr. Suresh, taking cue from what you said, Assam is a classic example how development can go hand in hand with heritage preservation and protection of nature. So, you know, the Kaziranga Elevated Corridor Project, as you yourself said, facilitates uninterrupted movement of animals. It reduces human-wildlife conflict too. So, and Prime Minister also mentioned about Kaziranga being the soul of Assam. What do you have to say about
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. I have been there and I know that it is just not about the one-horned rhino or the elephants and the tigers. But also, there is a very strong artisan community there. The local arts and the handicrafts are there. You know, the local tribal population is there. Now, all their culture also needs to be preserved and promoted. So when you promote tourism, these goods travel to different parts of the country. So they get promoted at the national and international level. They get exposure. So I believe that, and tourism brings about local employment opportunities, homestays, hotels, you name it. Today, the entire route to Kaziranga from Guwahati, when you see, once you cross Nagaon, you find that there are so many hotels have come up, homestays have come up, and they are all in terms of logistics, in terms of direct and indirect employment, they are contributing to the development of the Northeast. So that is also very important. And of course, as I said, the Prime Minister is very keen to ensure that how environment and development can go hand in hand. His entire emphasis on Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam, you know, that has caught up so well. Millions of trees have been planted, saplings have been planted across the country. So I believe that development is certainly important, but certainly not at the cost of, our nature. So the entire effort is to balance that.
Listeners, before we go any further in this discussion, let's hear to this report which our correspondent brings from Assam regarding the Prime Minister's visit.
Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi concluded his two-day-long Assam visit today. During his visit, the Prime Minister laid foundation stones of development projects, flagged off two trains and attended a cultural program. The Prime Minister reached Guwahati from West Bengal on Saturday evening and held a roadshow from airport to Arjun Bhogeshwar Borua Sports Complex in Guwahati. The Prime Minister attended Bagrumba Dohao traditional Boro cultural program at the sports complex, where more than 10,000 artists from the Boro community performed Bagrumba dance. Today, the Prime Minister addressed a huge public meeting at Mausonda Pathar in Koliyabor and performed Bhumi Pujan for the Kaziranga Elevated Corridor Project and four-lane upgradation of Koliyabor-Numaligarh section of National Highway 715 worth ₹6,957 crore. During the program, Prime Minister also flagged off two new Amrit Bharat Express trains, Kamakkha Rohtak Amrit Bharat Express and Dibrugarh-Gomtinagar Amrit Bharat Express. The Prime Minister left for New Delhi after addressing the public meeting at Koliyabor. Aminullah Zaddar, Akashvani News, Guwahati.
Dr. Suresh, five Amrit Bharat Express trains too have been launched. We'd like to hear from you. How do these routes improve connectivity between West Bengal, Assam and other parts of India?
Absolutely. You see, the whole idea is that, you know, how to not only connect, there are trains, but trains which are affordable yet comfortable. That is the whole idea for the common man. Here is a train in terms of seating, in terms of facilities like mobile charging, in terms of the facilities in the train, they are at par, the state-of-the-art coaches that have been provided. So whether it is the farmer laborers, whether it is the daily travelers, commuters, or the business people, or the young professionals, they can all utilize this train to reach out their destination, go to their, you know, villages, go to their rural areas. So connect the rural areas, to connect them with the centers of employment and economy activities, whether it is Kolkata or northern India. So it is also connecting, Amrit Bharat is also connecting not just the Northeast, but also with North India, you would find. The whole idea is that how to interconnect the different states, not only to bring about more economic collaboration between the peoples, and also ensuring in terms of freight, in terms of good transportation, we need to have better connectivity among the different states. So this is the objective of expanding the infrastructure there.
Our correspondent too brings us further details on the Amrit Bharat Express trains.
The Amrit Bharat Express train has emerged as a boon for Delhi passengers. Currently, 34 Amrit Bharat trains are running across the country, and now with the launch of 5 new Amrit Bharat trains, the number of such trains will go up to 39. These new trains, originating from Assam and West Bengal, will provide affordable long-distance connectivity for states like Bihar, Uttar Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra and Karnataka. These services will cater the additional demand for rail travel while offering a comfortable ride experience for passengers. The Amrit Bharat Express offer non-AC long-distance sleeper class journey at an affordable fare of around ₹500 per 1,000 km. Designed to cater to heavy passenger volumes, especially during festive season, these trains provide affordable and better connectivity for travelers commuting for employment, education and family needs across different parts of the country. Dipendra Kumar, Akashwani News, New Jalpaiguri.
Dr. Suresh, whenever we talk about improved connectivity, there is mention of ecotourism and cultural tourism. Can you please comment on this with special reference to West Bengal and Assam?
Absolutely. You see, these are very culturally rich areas where you need to promote tourism in a big way. where infrastructure has to be expanded to ensure that they attract investment, because these are also areas which have lagged behind in development in the past and which needs to be promoted on a large scale. So whether it is in terms of, you know, logistics, whether it is in terms of the infrastructural facilities that are provided to encourage the industrialists to come and invest there, to encourage the youth to take up jobs there. So I think that it is very important to expand the infrastructure. The government's policy has been, and here I must mention that, you see, the firmly believing in the policy of cooperative federalism, the government of India has never discriminated between states when it comes to development. Whether it is government led by other political parties, you would always find, whether it is Karnataka, Tamil Nadu or Bengal, the Prime Minister has gone out of his way to, when it comes to expanding infrastructure in these states, the whole idea being the youth should not suffer because of any political differences. The people of the states should not suffer, and the national unity and integrity should strengthen. So this connectivity is also going to further strengthen the national unity and certainly the connectivity among the people, and it would bolster employment opportunities in these places. And at the same time, we are giving, whether it is the case of elevated corridor, you would see that the whole idea is to balance between nature and development. The whole idea is to balance between that very delicate balance between development and environment. So I think that it is a very balanced approach that the Prime Minister and the government of the day has adopted.
Dr. Suresh, if you were to comment on how has the journey from Look East to Act East progressed over the years?
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Today, Northeast has become the hub of economic activities. You see, I have had the privilege of working in the Northeast, and we have seen the government's emphasis, whether in terms of expanding the education network there, the IITs, the IIMs, the universities which have come up there, the institutions which have come up there, institutions like the Indian Institute of Mass Communication and a lot many other institutions, which are the Film and Television Institute of India. There's been a lot of focus on expanding the educational so that, you know, the people of Northeast are qualified and get better opportunities across the country. And also in terms of roads, in terms of connectivity, as I said, the Prime Minister himself in the last 11 years has gone much more than all the Prime Ministers put together in the last 7 decades. So that is the kind of emphasis which has been. And our infrastructure has now, for fear of, we have been avoiding infrastructure development in the border areas. But this government has really taken major steps, whether it in terms of train connectivity, whether in terms of air connectivity. I mean, many states did not have direct air connectivity. But today, whether it is Arunachal Pradesh, whether it is Sikkim, whether it is Manipur, you would see that new airports have come up in many places where airports never existed. So they have been connected by air, by train. Trains have gone into areas where it has never been. You have seen in the rest of the country also. So I think that this kind of focus on development of the Northeast has certainly helped in bringing the Northeast closer to the national mainstream. And today it is not a separate part of the country where the chicken's neck was the only way you could connect. Today you have many ways of reaching out to the Northeast, and it has fully integrated into the national economy and the national polity.
Dr. Suresh, do you think that with the greater connectivity, does Northeast become a more attractive place for investments, for enterprises and for entrepreneurs?
Undoubtedly, today Northeast students, Northeast youth are today contributing to the national economy. Whether from north to south you go into the hospitality industry, you see a lot of these young people who are doing so extremely well are Northeast people.
As we've just discussed, improved rail and road connectivity is more than just faster travel. It is about access, opportunity and regional integration. The launch of Amrit Bharat trains and other infrastructure projects in West Bengal and Assam marks an important step towards balanced development and stronger links with the Northeast. Dr. Suresh, thank you very much for sparing your valuable time and throwing such valuable inputs.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.